In our lessons on Sunday evening, we have been focusing on the Holy Spirit. And we have studied who the Holy Spirit is and what He is. We've learned He is a person, a member of the Godhead. He's divine. We've also learned that the Holy Spirit does, in fact, indwell within us. We learned in the third lesson of this series that the Holy Spirit helps us, especially when we don't know what to pray for. And then last Sunday evening, we focused on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and saw how the Spirit does work in our lives apart from the Word of God, especially, of course, in our prayers. But the Spirit also contributes to us having access to God. He plays a part in that as well. Tonight we're going to focus on what the Bible says about us being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And there's a couple of passages that I want to begin with. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22. Paul writes, again, 2 Corinthians 1:21, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." I'll show you one other passage, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. That go hand in hand with this passage we just read. Ephesians 1:13. In Him, in Christ, in other words, Ephesians 1:13. "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." And so the Ephesians, like every other convert to Christ, trusted in Christ after they, you know, heard the gospel, the word of truth. How do we know that they trusted in Christ? Well, that's simple, right? They were obedient due to their faith. They were baptized into Christ and thereby put on Christ. And Paul's reminding them as he writes back, he says, it was in Christ, after they had believed, that they were then sealed with the Holy Spirit. In the first century, there were several purposes for which a seal would be used. Charles Hodge, an old preacher in our brotherhood, wrote a commentary on Ephesians, and he noted that seals could be used for a number of different purposes, sometimes to authenticate or confirm something as genuine and true, like a king putting his seal on a document. Or sometimes it was used to mark one's property. You know, it's got my seal on it, that's mine. We'd think of it like a brand. And lastly, to render something as secure, protected. Charles Barclay observed that the ancients used the seal to guarantee safety and security. I've got the seal here. I'm secure. This is safe. Or as evidence, as proof of truth, or as a guarantee that, you know, something was the quality it was supposed to be. But lastly, he said, a seal was also used as a sign of ownership, which certainly fits with this seal of the Holy Spirit. Ownership. In previous lessons, we've learned that God gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a gift. But the purpose of that gift was, at least in part, to authenticate us as one of His children. Turn to Galatians 4. This is a very important passage in the context of our lesson. Galatians 4, verse 4 through verse 7. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, well, that's an interesting thought right there. Everything was prepared according to God's plan. The fullness of time had come. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now look at verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Boy, that's a rich passage. But verse 6, especially notice, the Spirit is not sent into our heart to make us His children. He's not sent to make us sons of God as if we needed the Holy Spirit to be able to respond to the gospel call. Rather, He sends that Spirit because we are sons of God, children of God. It's then that the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts. According to Ephesians 4:30, it is the Holy Spirit of God by whom we are sealed, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And so in this context, this sealing has to do also with our security. It's by the Holy Spirit. We were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, we know that this verse is absolutely true, right? No doubt about it. We know it's true. But here's the catch. It's not always easily applied or fully accepted. In other words, how secure do you feel about eternity? When you think about eternity, are there some question marks? How secure are you? That's what we're talking about. Now, we know what 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9, we've looked at that passage in a number of settings recently, but Paul, especially on Wednesday night, but John, not Paul, John writes, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have something in common. We're a part of something together. We're part of the family of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Continually cleanses us from all sin as we're walking in the light. We're not perfect. That's why the blood has to keep cleansing us. But the location is proper, is right. We're walking in the light, close to God. Verse 8 says, now verses 8 and 9 really tie together. If we say, keep that in mind. What are we saying? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, again, he's talking about what we're saying, right? If we confess our sins, He, God, Jehovah God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleanse is a continual action word again. Now, how do we know that's true? God, give me a sign that this... No. We by faith, we know this is true. And by faith, we know that we are guarded by the power of God until we are with the Lord in eternity. Right? He is faithful. He's worthy of our trust, our faith. Bottom line, we are absolutely, are able to be absolutely confident of our salvation in Christ. And in addition to that, God has put a seal on it. It's true. It's absolutely true. Now, let me show you another passage. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3. Who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. Now there's your promise. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Now some of your versions won't say kept. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Anything that is kept by the power of God is It's pretty absolute. By the way, that word kept sometimes is translated guarded. We are guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation. Your eternal inheritance is guarded by God. It won't corrupt. It's not going to be defiled. It's not going to be stolen away or fade away. It is absolutely reserved in heaven for you by God, and nothing can overcome God. You should be confident. Amen? In other words, are we incapable of having any other outcome? Is it impossible? We have this seal, seal of the Holy Spirit. We have this guarantee. We're kept by the power of God. Is it impossible to change that, to break that seal? Are we incapable of turning from God and being lost? Now we know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of adoption, redemption. Again, you notice that's worked in there. Sealed. Ownership. Guaranteed. Authentic. Of course, every instance of grieving the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we're automatically cut off from God. It may be one of those miss the mark moments and we turn right back to God. God forgive me. And just keep drawing close to God. I mean, all of us relate to that. But there are sins that will cost you your soul. In fact, here in Ephesians 4, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking never concern you. Is that what he says? No. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, how important is this? How important is it to be true to that path? Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What an incredible promise. But there's another part to this promise. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. And so, grieving the Holy Spirit involves a lot of wrong choices, wrong lifestyles, wrong paths. Paul emphasized to the Ephesians that they have to walk as children of light. Now, there's your word picture for a path. In fact, we're right here in Ephesians 4. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this you know. He's reminding them of something they already know, something we already know. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. When walking in love and imitating God and walking as Christ, the sacrifice for Christ makes all the difference. But what about a Christian who falls away into these sins? It is the fact that Christ loved us and gave himself for us making a difference? Not for them. For because of these things, he says, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. In other words, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, but we can break that seal by rebelling against God. But only us. No one else can break it. We alone can break that seal. Now I will show you one more passage. 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and following. 2 Timothy 2. And again, I mean, you know this. This is Paul's last letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. He says, but shun, 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they'll increase to more ungodliness. Boy, that's pretty common sense, isn't it? And their message will spread like cancer. Now he calls names. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed according to the faith, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. Boy, I love that. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you're a faithful Christian, what a promise. We can have complete confidence because we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have the down payment of our future inheritance. How do you know? This is important. How do you know that you're sealed? Well, I can feel it. No. Can't go by your feelings. A spirit-induced feeling that leaves no doubt that you've been sealed, that's not it. Or do you have a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit? A spiritual gift? Well, see, that's a problem because even in the first century, not everyone had a miraculous spiritual gift. Not everyone had them. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and they were that congregation was being torn apart by the haves and the have-nots, those that had miraculous gifts and those that didn't. And he said, now you are the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27, and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then he asked these questions. Are all apostles? Were they all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Of course not. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? You see, it's implied. They knew this. Do all interpret? obviously not everyone had those spiritual gifts. And so he says, but desire earnestly the best gifts, and then I'll show you a more excellent way. Now that's chapter 13. What's the more excellent way? Love. The questions in verses 29 and 30 have one answer, no. And so you don't know that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise because you have a miraculous gift. We know the same way that we know that the Spirit's indwelling us. The Holy Spirit has revealed this in the written word. The Holy Spirit said that God has sealed us with His Spirit. He did this to mark us as His own. God knows that we're His own. And He has given us this spiritual stamp of approval, sealing us with the Holy Spirit. In fact, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that the sealing has taken place. And these co-witnesses show that we're children of God. And we know all that because God's Word informs us. And so, how do we know that we have the Spirit? By faith. How do we know that we're forgiven of our sins? By faith. That's the walk of the Christian. We walk by faith and not by sight. There is so much confusion about this in our modern religious world. Well, God speaks to me. Well, you're a prophet then. You need to write that stuff down. We need to add it to our Bible. It's inspired. Someone said, if you want to hear God speak, then read the Bible. If you want to hear Him speak audibly, read it aloud. Read it out loud. If you want to know that you're forgiven, don't wait for a feeling. Live by faith. If you want to know if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, if Christ dwells within you, if they've made their home with you, read the Bible and walk by faith, fully trusting that every promise He makes is true. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.